Today's podcast is brought to you by Paul Blart Mall Cop 2, starring Kevin James. That's Paul Blart Mall Cop 2, the sequel to the first one. You know, any of the little rinky-dinky little podcasts you listen to, any of them could be sponsored by Paul Blart Mall Cop 1. This podcast, so special, brought to you by Paul Blart Mall Cop 2. They're spending big bucks to promote on the podcast today, and I couldn't be more thrilled. Well, yeah, you're saying, Gino, what's the story there? What's the story with Paul Blart Mall Cop 2 starring Kevin James? Why should I buy this? Well, how about this? Did you see the first one? Basically, that's all you need to know that you'd want to see the second one. But if you need to know more, I'll tell you. After 6 years of keeping our malls... After 6 years of keeping our malls safe, Paul Blart has earned a well... After 6 years of keeping our malls safe, Paul Blart has earned a well-deserved vacation. He heads to Las Vegas with his teenage daughter before she heads off to college. But safety never takes a holiday, and when duty calls, Blart answers. That's Paul Blart 2, Mall Cop 2. Paul Blart Mall Cop 2, I think is exactly how you say it. And it's rated PG. It's fun for the whole family. Now available on DVD and Blu-ray. And actually, it has been available on DVD and Blu-ray for about 3 years now because it came out in 2015. But anyway, thanks to the good folks at Paul Blart Mall Cop 2, which, by the way, is not very easy to say. You try saying it. You try saying it right now. I'll wait. Paul Blart Mall Cop 2, a wonderful gift for this holiday season. And now, here's the podcast. All right. Hey there. Welcome to the show. How are you today? It's a wonderful way to start the week, isn't it? With my lovely voice. Some say the voice of an angel. But here we are. It's did you have a nice Thanksgiving? Thanksgiving was obviously last week. Maybe not everybody celebrated, but to those who didn't celebrate, you didn't miss much. I promise you. Just another day. But to those who did celebrate, I hope you had a wonderful time with your family. And made some Thanksgiving memories. I have a wonderful tradition that you can use. I hope it catches on in the whole nation. Maybe the whole world starts it. And the whole world doesn't do Thanksgiving. All right, let's just start small. I hope the whole nation starts doing this over the next few years. I started it last year. I continued the tradition this year. And I think it's going to catch on. I think your family's going to love this. What I do is on Thanksgiving evening, I put out... Before I go to bed, a glass of milk and a turkey leg, and I leave it there on the kitchen table. And then when everyone goes to bed, the pilgrims and the Indians come in, and they have the milk and the turkey, and they leave very happy. Sometimes they'll leave you a little note, a little smiley face. But then the wonderful thing is you wake up the next morning, and you see, ooh, someone drank the milk and ate the turkey leg. And you see the little bare turkey bone there. The little tendons hanging off, and you know that the pilgrims and the Indians came last night. I should say Native Americans. The pilgrims and the Native Americans came last night, and it's a beautiful thing. So start it. Start it next year with your kids, and I bet it's a holiday tradition that'll last for decades. Turkey and milk for the pilgrims and Indians. So there you go. Thanksgiving. I have fond memories of Thanksgiving as a kid, I guess. Do I? I don't know. It kind of just gets in the way between Halloween and Christmas, I guess, when you're a kid. But it's fun to eat stuff and get together with the family, I guess. I remember one year, we would always go for Thanksgiving and Easter every year. We would go to New York City to visit my dad's side of the family because he was from Brooklyn. So we would visit my aunt and uncles and cousins and everybody would get together, which they don't anymore. They haven't gotten together like that in years. But it was a wonderful thing when you were a kid and you got together with all the family. And one year, we went to my Aunt Fran's and Uncle Frankie's house for Thanksgiving in New York, and they had brought in a family friend. He was probably in his 20s. He came over from Egypt, and I think they met him maybe through church or through, I don't know. But the point is, he came over. His name is Mohammed, and he was from Egypt. And this just goes to show you what weird times it was back then, but even just, we probably would have done it today. We were so naive. What happened was I heard that he was from Egypt, and it just so happened that in school, we were studying Egypt and studying ancient Egypt. I was probably like 10 or 11 when this all went down, and I remember thinking, ooh, Muhammad's from Egypt. I wonder if he can read hieroglyphics. So I went to the car, which had my backpack in it, because I was a little nerd, and I brought my backpack all the way to New York City to do homework on Thanksgiving vacation. And my parents and everyone encouraged me, yeah, go up to Muhammad and see if he can read it. So I unzipped my backpack, and I took out the pages and pages full of hieroglyphics, and I handed it to 20-year-old Muhammad and said, hey, can you read this? And Muhammad looked down as he stared at a bunch of ancient symbols that were carved into pyramids, and he looked up at me and he said, no, I can't read this. And he handed it back to me. And the weird thing was, none of us thought anything of it. We were all kind of let down, like, ah, I thought he was going to be able to read the ancient Egypt hieroglyphics. But he couldn't, and we were let down. And it wasn't until years later that I realized, that might have been a little offensive to Muhammad. That might have been a little extremely naive of all of us. No one stopped me. No one said, nah, you know what, that's weird. That's wrong. Well, I mean, what a stupid family, right? What a stupid thing to do. But, it was the 90s. What are you going to do? You know, if that happened today, the whole family would probably have to resign for their jobs. They'd probably have to get on Twitter and issue an apology. And so, Muhammad, if you're listening right now, which I'm sure you're not, but if you are listening, I'm sorry with all my heart that I tried to make you read ancient Egyptian hieroglyphics. All right? All right. I'm glad that's out of the way. I feel a lot better. And actually, now that I think about it, that wasn't even Thanksgiving. I think that was Easter. Yeah, that definitely happened on Easter. So I don't really have any wonderful Thanksgiving memories that stand out. Although one year, when I had my band, Gino and Friends, I decided to, we should feed people. We should feed people who are hungry for Thanksgiving, these underprivileged families who maybe can't afford turkey and a wonderful big shindig with their family. And they have to look at everybody else celebrating Thanksgiving. Let's feed some poor families in the area and buy them some turkeys, feed them for the holiday. So we put together a little show, which we did a few years in a row. It was a nice, successful little show. It was a Thanksgiving charity show. And I think we had a couple other bands play. And then us, we would come out and we had people donate money. And some people brought canned goods and some people actually brought turkeys. And we had raffles and we gave away prizes. And raised a lot of money to feed families in the area. But what happened was, after the show, I took those turkeys home and I put them in my freezer with the idea that next week I was going to bring them to the food pantry or whoever it was that needed them to give them to the families in need. And then I forgot to do that. So like 2 years later, when I moved out of my house and I had friends and family over helping me move, they said, what are these turkeys doing in the freezer? So I have a confession that if you donated turkeys to the Thanksgiving charity show that we put on as a band, I accidentally kept those turkeys in my freezer for 2 years. I didn't eat it, though. Don't worry, I didn't eat it. We threw it out. That's my other Thanksgiving memory. So I hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving. Here we are in a new week now. Now it's officially the Christmas season, and I'm excited about it. And that's that. Let's see. Is anything going on in the news we want to talk about? Did you read anything interesting today or see anything interesting on social media that you want to share? This isn't just my show. This is your chance to share something with everybody, too. So I'll just wait a second. And if anyone out there has anything they'd like to share, anything interesting, maybe something that happened to them this week, or an interesting article or a story they heard, come forth. Now is your chance. I'll wait. I'll take a sip of my beverage here. Nobody? All right. You know, I will take this time to let you know that if you download the Anchor app, Anchor, A-N-C-H-O-R, it's a podcasting app, so you can listen to a ton of podcasts on it. You can listen to this podcast on it if you chose. But the cool thing is, if you go in there and you search for my show, You can send a voice message directly to the show. You can send a question or a comment or anything. Just say hello, whatever you want to do. You can send a voice message right to the show, and then you can interact with us, and I will play your voice message on the show, and it'll be great fun for everyone. You can tell your grandkids years from now that you were on my podcast, and that would be nice, wouldn't it? All right. Here's a story I saw this week. It says, social media subtly affects your personality. Who would think that? Who would think that social media would affect your personality? But this says a study was done. It says researchers found that excessive posting of photos on social media is linked to increased narcissism. What? Come on. That's ridiculous. Specifically, the data revealed that participants who use social media the most and those who use platforms mostly to post photos, so we're looking at you, Instagram, people who post photos on Instagram showed about a 25% increase in narcissistic traits over the course of a 4-month study. So people's level of narcissism went up over the course of the study. The more that people posted, the more egomaniacal they got. By the way, just so we're on the same page here, narcissism is defined as an excessive or erotic interest in oneself and one's physical appearance. Narcissism is also defined as vanity, self-absorption, self-obsession, and egotism. It also says here that the findings show that posting selfies specifically can increase one's narcissism. Can you believe that? In this day and age, you can't even post a nice selfie 17 times a day, every single day, without people thinking you're narcissistic. You know, not to sound like a big hipster here, but I was a narcissistic egomaniac long before everybody else was doing it. All right? And quite frankly, it's a little embarrassing to watch all of you out there become narcissists too. I mean, in my day, it was warranted. I was handsome, talented, surrounded by very mediocre-looking, regular, no-talented people. I stood out. People loved me. I was told from the time I was a small child just how successful I was going to be, how people were going to see my name in lights, what a good-looking kid I was, how talented I was. So I had mucho reasons to be narcissistic, and I was very narcissistic. I loved myself, as well I should have. Maybe a little too much, people say, but whatever. The point is, no one around me really had that narcissism. Coming up in the 2000s, the early 2000s, I was a rapper. I thought my duty didn't stink. I thought my duty smelled of garlic, cloves, and basil, which it might have, because I ate a lot of pasta. But I very rarely encountered anyone who thought they were beautiful or handsome or should be famous or would ever think to post pictures of themselves or feelings on anything. But then all of a sudden, social media came into play, and slowly, it was amazing to sit back and watch everyone become these egomaniacal beings. And I stood back, and it made me go, this is odd. It was almost like looking in the mirror. And quite frankly, like I said, a little embarrassing to watch. So just be aware of it. Maybe you are a closet narcissist too now, just because you have the ability to take a picture of yourself and post it. It's weird times we're living in. Very, very weird times. I'm going to take a sip of my drink now. You guys want anything? If anybody wants anything, let me know. I'll make you a drink. I'll make you a little soup. If you want some soup, let me know. This is us together. So that's that. Social media causes narcissism. What else? What else is interesting out there today? This article says science has confirmed that cold weather makes you want to drink. What do you think about that? Does cold weather make you want to drink alcohol? I'm not saying that I have Jim Beam in this glass, but hold on, let me taste it. Oh, I do. There's a little Jim Beam and Coke in that glass. How about that? But only because it's cold out. It's very, very cold this evening, or else I wouldn't be drinking it. According to a new study out of the University of Pittsburgh, located in the lovely dull state of Pennsylvania, this study is actually the first to confirm that cold weather makes you want to drink. This is a study at a university. Money was put into this to come up with these revolutionary findings. Who would have ever thought of that if they didn't have all these scientists work around the clock? Researchers said they found a direct connection between the weather in a city and the average alcohol intake in that city. And it makes sense. When you get drunk, the alcohol increases blood flow to your skin, which actually warms you up. But of course, it says here, be careful. They also found that people in cold weather climates were more likely to have liver disease, which is directly connected to their alcohol consumption. So if you live in a cold place, you drink more to make yourself warm and feel better, and then you get liver disease. You just can't win. Yeah, I agree with this. I definitely want to drink more when it's cold outside. But, I mean, when I think about it, you know what else makes me want to drink? Hot weather, rainy weather, other weather, loneliness makes me want to drink, depression, social media makes me want to drink, my anxiety, that makes me want to drink, my career or lack thereof. The reboot of the latest Ninja Turtles movie, I waited a long time for that, was really excited, and that was really bad, so that made me want to drink. What else? My height makes me want to drink. My receding hairline. My complexion. People being too politically correct to, you know, fake outrage, that stuff, that makes me want to drink. My bank account makes me want to drink. When people put peppers in pasta sauce, that makes me want to drink. I don't know what you're doing that for. No need for that. Bland pizza. Really bland tasting pizza. Pizza places that just don't care about the taste of their pizza. That makes me want to drink. But they're right. Definitely the cold weather too. Cold weather definitely also makes me want to drink. So absolutely. Absolutely I agree with that. You know, speaking of bland tasting pizza and people putting peppers in pasta sauce, fall and winter is a time of year where I really get into cooking. I don't really want to cook much at all. In spring and summertime, I want to have salads and nice things. But really, fall and winter makes me want to make a good tomato sauce. Make some good pasta for people, or pizzas and things like that. And I've really, tomato sauce is a thing of beauty, a thing of almost religion to me. Where I grew up with a mother that made amazing sauce. My parents owned a restaurant when I was little called the Pasta House. So it's very important to me. And unfortunately, they're both gone now. And I don't have the recipes written down. I only have what I remember them doing and then me trying to improve it every year. And it's never consistent. Sometimes it's very mediocre and I'm unhappy with it, but then sometimes I hit the nail right on the coffin. Sometimes I hit the nail right in the head, not the coffin. What? And I make a wonderful tomato sauce, and I did just that last week. I was very, very proud of it. Mama Gino was in the zone in the kitchen. But I have this constant quest for the best. And I'm like an idiot. I never write down what I do when I do make an amazing sauce. So every time I make it, you never know what you're going to get. But it's almost like a zen-like atmosphere I'm in. When I'm in the kitchen, I put a little Frank Sinatra on. I've been listening to a lot of Frank Sinatra lately. He really was amazing. Has a song for everything that you're feeling in life. And he's really been a therapy to me lately. So put a little Sinatra on, light a candle. Get some olive oil going, some garlic, and put together that tomato sauce. It's a beautiful thing. It's funny how serious Italians take their sauce, isn't it? It's not rocket science by any stretch of the imagination. It's tomatoes and garlic and basil and a couple other little things. And you do what you can and you try to make a good tasting sauce. But you would think that it was some sort of mystical, magical force making the sauce. With Italians. Like, I always think it's funny how people will look at Olive Garden and say, that's not real Italian food. Even non-Italian people say that. We're all brainwashed to think that, we're all brainwashed to hate on Olive Garden, but I mean, what do you think they're doing that's so different than I'm doing, or that your mother's doing, or someone at a local mom-and-pop Italian restaurant is doing? Granted, their sauce is probably shipped in from somewhere, probably has a lot of preservatives in it, but a lot of times, let's face it, let's say something controversial here. A lot of times, Olive Garden is very tasty. A lot tastier than a lot of mom-and-pop, quote-unquote, Italian restaurants I've been to. There's a lot of local places here that call themselves Italian restaurants, and I'm very, very not impressed with their food and with their sauce. So who's to say what's Italian and what's not Italian? What do you think? Every time you go somewhere, There has to be some old 70-year-old Italian grandma stirring it back there. Is that what constitutes real Italian and not real Italian? I don't know. The point is, even as I say this to you, I'm very snooty about Italian food and about sauce. And if you brought to me a jarred sauce and made pasta with it, I'd be very almost offended and I wouldn't want to eat it. But what's really that different? The preservatives, some of the junk they throw in there. I'm sure there's a ton of sodium. But to me, it's all about the act of making it. There's something very beautiful about the act of making it, the anticipation of it coming out. And that's that. So what I'm saying is next Sunday, because Sunday's a big pasta day, everyone who listens to this show, you're invited over to my house. I'm going to make you the best sauce you've ever had in your life. Or maybe it'll come out mediocre. Who knows? But you are invited. Rigatoni's. I think we're going to have some rigatoni's next week. All right? All right. Bring your appetite. And also bring $5. If everyone who came over for my pasta just gave me $5, you know what? The world would be a much better place. And if you don't come over to my house, well, make yourself some sauce this weekend. This Sunday, take some time, do it right. Email me if you want, ginodoesemail@gmail.com. I'll give you a recipe that I use off the top of my head. I'll just give you a general idea of what I do and play around with it and see, you know, turn on some Sinatra in your kitchen and see if your life isn't immensely better for it. And speaking of the Olive Garden, by the way, if you want to skip all that and you just want to go to the Olive Garden, I support you. Take the family out to Olive Garden. Here's another thing in the news. It says here, Olive Garden's chocolate brownie lasagna has 8 layers of creamy fudge. It says, when you think of lasagna, you don't think of dessert, but Olive Garden is looking to change that. Olive Garden is releasing its new chocolate brownie lasagna this week, and the creation consists of 8 layers of brownie fudge and vanilla cream cheese sprinkled with chocolate shavings and topped with a chocolate drizzle. I got news for you. This is a brand new item, they're saying. Guess what? I worked at the Olive Garden back in 2001. I started there a week before the towers fell down, and guess what they had there back in September of 2001? They had chocolate lasagna back then. So basically, they renamed it to chocolate brownie lasagna and released it like it was a brand new and special item, which come to think about it, that's exactly what I did with this podcast, isn't it? I gave it a new name and pretended like it was something new and special. So you know what? I respect that, Olive Garden. I respect that a lot. So go visit Olive Garden this weekend and get chocolate brownie lasagna if you'd like. I don't know. They're not a sponsor. Hey, Olive Garden, if you're listening, you could sponsor the show. I've talked you up a couple times here when I really shouldn't be, but I am doing it for free. So come on. Take a lesson from your movie brethren, Paul Blart, Mall Cop 2, and fork over some money, Olive Garden. And before you know it, my fans will be busting down the doors. I guess I've wasted enough of your time today, right? Yeah, we're just kicking things off. I'll be back with you in a couple days. Until then, download that Anchor app if you'd like to tell me how much my show sucks. You can send a voice message or how much you love me. And I guess that's that. Do something that makes you happy this week, even if it's just for 10 minutes. Just stop, lock yourself in a room, and do something that makes you happy, all right? And that would make me happy knowing that you did that. Please subscribe on iTunes or wherever you listen to this podcast. Leave a little review and comment. Share it with your friends. And that's that. I thank you so much for spending your time with me. And we're just getting back into the swing of things here. The show will get better, I promise you. I'm just trying to get back in the groove, okay? Has it really been that bad? No. I think it was pretty good. You know, all right, before I leave you, I'm reminded of something. As we talked about pizza earlier and we talked about sauce, I'm reminded of when my dad used to order pizza for all of us. For all of us. There was 3 of us. It was me, my mom, and my dad. But when my dad would order pizza for us or for anyone, it was always a special occasion. It felt like a celebration, obviously, as pizza always does. A lot of times he ordered it on Friday, or if I won a talent show when I was young and did Michael Jackson in a talent show, he'd order sheet pizzas for everybody. Or he'd order pizzas and send them to my school for my birthday. And whenever he ordered a pizza, he always ended it with this, which to most of you out there is going to sound, it's going to go against everything you believe in. But he took this with him from the days of ordering pizza back in Brooklyn in the 50s. And he would say, all right, I'd like a pizza, less cheese, more sauce. And I know everyone's appalled right now because everyone thinks you gotta have extra cheese on your pizza. But if you don't order your pizza like that, that's okay. But let me just leave you with this. Let it be a metaphor for your life. The cheese, my friends, while maybe comforting in texture, it covers up the taste of the real main ingredient, the real flavor maker, the sauce. A lot goes into the sauce to make it a beautiful, beautiful flavor. Now, granted, a lot of pizza places don't put any effort into that. They just throw together a pizza, knowing that you'll buy it because everyone loves pizza. But mozzarella cheese doesn't have much of a flavor. It's just kind of a comforting texture. And when you think about it, a lot of what we do in our lives, especially in the wintertime, is just extra cheese. It's covering up under blankets and watching TV and killing the time, napping, avoiding going out and seeing people we love, or avoiding doing the things that make us happy, right? It's all extra cheese, just there to comfort us, because it's a nice little texture. But I say to you, what about the sauce? What about what really matters? So as you go forward today, and for the rest of your lives, if you learn nothing from me, learn that in life, less cheese, more sauce. Good night.